Good morning. Good morning. So good to be here again and see all of your smiling faces. Pentecost Sunday. This is our last Sunday before, in the church calendar, before ordinary time. And I'll mention a little bit about that. But I'm just really happy that there was the Holy Spirit initially, historically, came to empower the God's people to live, even in the midst of ordinary time. And the Holy Spirit allows us to live in ordinary time extraordinarily. And I think that's kind of the big thesis of this morning. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live in ordinary time, ordinarily, in extraordinary ways. Like I mentioned, we have ministerial in Cloverdale. There's something really special happening there. And we gather together and we choose a passage to preach on for Pentecost, and usually it's like one of the guys throws it out to someone else and said, yeah, you choose a passage, and so they say, okay, and then we get the passage, and then I looked at it 4 weeks ago and said, yeah, that's great, the graphic looks fine, and the passage is good, I'll get to it at some point, and then I jokingly said to him, I said, oh, well, it was a Pentecostal guy who picked the Pentecost Sunday passage. And I jokingly said, you picked the Ascension passage, not the Pentecost. He's like, it's all Acts. It's all the same thing. I'm like, so good. And it shows our unity as churches in the midst of it. So, you know, maybe even a more of a high church person would have maybe got a little bit detailed, like, and going, why are you choosing that when maybe, you know, for centuries we've been using this for Pentecost? And everyone is able to say, okay, let's do that. This shows our unity in the Spirit. So the passage that was chosen was in Acts 1, 4 to 8. And I'd like to read this for us. Follow along on the screen or with your Bible or in your Bible app. And I'm reading from the NLT version. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God, referring to Jesus. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is God's word. So what I want to look at in this passage, this Ascension passage for Pentecost Sunday, Ascension happened 10 days ago, is three words. Wait, witness, and welcome. Wait, witness, and welcome. And it's going to be coming out of this passage, but it's going to be referring to Acts 2, and specifically kind of the rest of Acts, and the rest of Acts, the rest of our story as Jesus followers as well. So here in Acts 1:4 says, wait for the Holy Spirit. A Jesus-centered community waits to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is where heaven and earth collide in these moments, and the kingdom of God is present. So, waiting. What does it look like to wait? Sometimes, for some of us, it can be pretty impatient waiting. Jesus reminds his disciples that although he's going to be leaving them, he's now promising them the Holy Spirit will come and lead them in wisdom. There's going to be an advocate for them. There's a comforter that's happening. So there's this personal thing that's happening within the individual believer that we believe that this is what happens. But if we look at this text, the Holy Spirit is also to lead them to a life of love that is actually talking about not just their own, but their relationship with neighbor that we're going to get to in a minute. Jesus was constantly led by the Holy Spirit. If we look in the Gospel of Luke, which Acts is actually Luke 2. So the Gospel of Luke is written by the Dr. Luke. And then the Acts was written also by Luke. And you could kind of sandwich together. When the wisdom and inspiration, the way they put the canon together, they wanted to make sure Luke was part of the Gospel. And partly also because it was written on two different scrolls, but they wanted Luke to be made sure that it was part of the fourfold gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there's this Acts that came after Luke. And how fitting that it's in the canon in our Bible now that it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then now what does the church do with the life of Jesus? With the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now Acts is a representation of what the church did after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus got a hold of them, the good news. So Acts is this kind of what happens after. In the story of Luke, Luke talks is saying constantly that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led away by the Holy Spirit. So there's this theme that Luke continues that now is going to shift. Not only was Jesus led by the Holy Spirit, and on Ascension Day, we left humanity, in a sense, but now has empowered humanity to what? To continue to do what he's doing. It's almost too easy. So this is the big picture. Jesus leaves, but he's empowering us to now live as he lived. So Jesus is led by the Spirit. I think we might do well to do that as well. So, what happens, I'll throw this out for us, when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of his people? What happened in that passage, in the following, some of you that have read Acts, we went through Acts this last fall, what happens now? What is going on with the people of God after the Holy Spirit has descended on them? What are a few things that have happened? Throw your hands up and call it out. Yeah, so they get there's a boldness there. Yeah. I usually don't get distracted. Could someone just go and shut that door? The basketball's driving me nuts. That door's okay open, I think. It's there's one back here. I believe it's open here. Just smile and be kind, and it's their space, not ours. So there's a boldness that grips them, because what was happening, and we've unpacked that a lot before, through Lent and the Passion Week, and even after the resurrection, there was lots of like, oh, I'm not sure what's going on. And then there was, after the Holy Spirit comes, there was quite a change in the boldness of them, right? I think they still had these questions, but there was a shift. What else? Pardon? Healing. Yeah, there's healing. Jesus has been doing this. He didn't heal everyone, but he was pointing markers. His healing was a signpost that he was the Messiah. Right? And now you have healing that's happening with the believers are moving in that direction and healing different people as a signpost of the kingdom of God. Yes? What other things happen?
They lived in community.
Yeah. That's the one big thing that sometimes we overlook because we might jump to the healing a bit too quick. It's a kind of a both and. There's this community that happened. I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. And during it was a family service during the long weekend, we talked about that, right? What else happened right after Pentecost? Right, there's Peter's big sermon. There's a bunch of people that believed. So, anyone else?
What about the Gentiles?
Yeah, like probably the biggest part of Acts. Exactly. Tamara gets bonus points. Gold star. The rest of you got blow stars, okay? So that's good. No. But there is this sense that the big picture of Acts, right? And guess what? The other big, as you read Luke, lots of commentators say, as you read Luke, you need to know that Luke is pointing that the gospel of Jesus is for everyone. That's why in the stories of Luke, more than other stories, Jesus is sitting with the people on the outside, on the margins. He's being called a wine bibber because he's hanging out and having parties with people he's not supposed to have parties with, right? There's this sense of, and now we see Luke is kind of going, all right, not the disciples weren't getting it at the time, right? They're like, okay, well, just get out of here. Let's come back and do your big teaching to everyone. And he's like, no, it's actually about around the table, like what Glenn was talking about last week. It's like, you need to be, what does it look like to be around the table? And then Acts is a movement forward to how do we include the Gentiles? Which to the point where they have this huge debate in what's going on. And then they come up they have this big council. And then they're like, okay, how do we do this? They talk to a bunch of people. They travel this way and that way. And they bring people together and they say, okay, so the Jews need to continue circumcision. If they want to follow Jesus, you can still continue that. Gentiles, you don't have to do it, even though the law says that you have to. That was huge. And in that moment, what happened there was really interesting. It gets to this point where they're waiting in that point where they had to have this council, was lots of conversation. And then they say, and I don't even have the scripture reference here because Tamara, you are leading this in a really good way, where it said it seemed right to us and the Holy Spirit. It seemed right to us and the Holy Spirit that we need to move in this direction. So the church goes, okay. And Peter still doesn't quite, he's still trying to get it and understand it. And then, you know, God speaks to him, like, go visit Cornelius. Like, what? Like, God can't be working in his life. He's a Gentile. Like, what? And Peter, and so eyes are starting to open in that way. So there's this whole community aspect about it seems right to us and the Holy Spirit. One of the other things that we missed here that maybe it's because we're a Mennonite Brethren church, but I know there's lots of Pentecostals out there too. Speaking in tongues, right? And so I'm going to try to unpack that as best I can in a moment too. But wait for the Holy Spirit. What is waiting for us? What does it look like for us then now? That's my question. I don't know if I have some of the answer. One of the answers might be it may happen in community, might happen around discussing, having good conversations about what I'm to do, learning wisdom, how do I move in that way, and then say, seems right to us and the Holy Spirit that we need to do this. Because God does show up in the big wham, but all the rest of the book of Acts is God showing up in different ways, even in that way. So, I want to, A couple months ago, I'll just say this is one little thing that we're learning. A couple months ago, I'm not sure if you remember saying this, but I'm going to, I didn't even talk to you about this, but that's okay. Herta was in the kitchen. This was maybe before Christmas. And Herta, this has been kind of mulling in my heart for a while. And she said, I'm glad that we haven't just packed the ministry center full of all these programs to do all these different things, but you're waiting and listening and trying to figure out what would God want us to do as a community there. How beautiful is that? And I said, Herta, yeah, let's continue to pray for that. So I'm not sure if you prayed for that, but guess what? I think there's been some fruit of that. One would have been on Saturday, our men's ministry met. And Tyler's been talking to me. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm not sure, and I'd love to do this. We're like, yeah, let's make this happen. And so our men's ministry on Saturday morning showed up at the ministry center, and we gathered together. AJ came and came back to visit us. And, you know, there's like a dozen or 14 men singing together, and that was just touching in its own. It's almost like men's group Christian karaoke, and but we know it's much more than that. It was guys saying, yeah, we want to discover what it means to have Jesus as Lord in my life, and so we sing and worship in response to that, and then we had this great conversation. And Tyler was just like, yeah, like, just seemed like God was working. And I was like, yeah, this is a good thing. Another person came and said, hey, what if we did contemplative prayer Monday mornings so that for people that are able to, remember, if you don't want to get up that early, you don't need to come. But we're experimenting with that. And this person said, I think it'd be a great thing to start on a Monday morning before our week goes, so we can be reminded of who we are. So we're working on that. And someone's like, that's stirring up. And so that might be a part of a waiting as well. So Herta, thanks for those comments and your prayers. And all the rest of you as well, obviously. So we need to take time to wait and maybe understand what that looks like. And the other word here I want to lead us... I want to touch on is witness. Acts 1:8a says, can we pull that one up? I'm not sure if we have it under the witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. This witness, and it's a witness to the kingdom of God. It's a witness to Jesus Christ being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a witness of the Holy Spirit empowers, I would say, I wrote this statement, Holy Spirit empowers a Jesus-centered community to be witnesses of what the kingdom of God looks like. So I would say this comes back to at the end of Acts 2, where it says they gathered together for worship and fellowship. Those are the two main parts. There's prayer in there. Worship can be under that. The fellowship, they're breaking bread. They're kind of saying, these are my resources. Let's use this to be able to announce the kingdom of God going forward. But it was this worship and fellowship. And they were witnesses. So it's actually in our community, not only that, but it's in our community that we're actually witnesses of what God's doing. When you can hold space with people that you might not agree with, in the midst of saying Jesus is Lord of your life, that's a witness of the kingdom of God here and now. When we're actually able to talk about the fact that, yeah, you know what, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, what happened on the cross in my own life. Absolutely. We're able to witness about that as well. But there's this witness that was happening, that they were sharing things in common with one another. And it's interesting that in the beginning parts, that was all mainly Jewish people. And then they had to realize what it, that's the whole book of Acts is trying to figure out. Now, how do we continue to look like the kingdom of God in this community by embracing these outsiders, these Gentiles as well? What does that look like? That's a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God. They were transformed by the radical love of God, which translated to the radical love of each other. Luke records it with that they're in glad and sincere hearts, that they devoted themselves to the worship and fellowship. Witness. What are we witnessing to? I believe that it's a both and. It's this is what Jesus has done in my life personally to save me from a life of sin. And that I can express to someone. But then it's like, look what happens in a community of people that Jesus Christ said, that they say Jesus Christ is Lord. Look how they love one another. That is also a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God here and now, that the Holy Spirit was moving them to. It's like they took seriously Jesus' commands, two commands that he sums up the whole Bible in. Love God, love other people. That's the book of Acts. Love God, worship him, and when you worship him, we should be transformed to now go out and love people. And it's that radical love that changes us because we've experienced ourselves, and now what does it look like? How do we allow that expression in other people's lives? That's a radical love that actually moves us and probably is sometimes the scariest part. Because it's sometimes easy to talk about what God has done in my life because of what he's done spiritually in my life and save me from a life of sin. And I need to repent. And as I repent and turn and walk this way, I realize, oh, it's not just about me loving God. Repentance means I need to love other people as well. And that's the tricky part. And that's why we have each other to wrestle with these things about. How does it work? This guy at work, he'd be like, not my work, just so you know. This guy at work, this other girl at work, because we don't have any guys at my, I'm the only guy right now, said this about me, and what do I do? And I'm like, and someone goes, no, like, this is what it means to love. This is how we care for one another. We direct people in a different way, in a Jesus-centered way. So, what does this alternative kingdom of God look like for us in our lives? Individually, but I would say much more in our families, in our marriages. What does the kingdom of God look like? What does it look like in our small groups? What does it look like in our friendship groups? And what does it look like for us as a church? Witness. One of my profs at Bible college, like years ago, said that witness is more, it should be called withness. That's the Holy Spirit empowering you to live a life like Jesus. You're not doing this alone. It's a withness. And I wonder if that withness then gets translated not to just me and God, but withness. What are we as a church? How are we functioning? What does it look like to move in the direction that we see Acts moving by embracing? So, then the last word is welcome. Obviously, no, I had to come up with three. I usually don't do this, but I was like, I'm going to get three words here. And it worked, this welcome. It was a welcome of all nations into the new world order. You're like, what? Wasn't there a band called that? I don't know how good they were. But the new world order, meaning it's shifting the way you think. The kingdom of God changes us. It's the church is living in and living out the kingdom of God here in to be alive here on earth. The Holy Spirit inspires and empowers the Jesus-centered community to build bridges and dismantle barriers. So, Tamara, yeah, it's this Gentile What do we do with the Gentiles? How do we work in this way? They were given the gift of tongues. So this is where we kind of, now you're gonna, I'll spit this out a little bit for us. They're given the gift of tongues. That is the barrier between people that marks cultural language, nationality, Romans, Cretans, Arabs, to name a few. There's a whole list in there. And they were overcome. And what happened was, then there was these passerbys that were hearing these voices that were speaking of the wonders of God in their own language. And they went, "What? What is that? Huh?" And then so God did this amazing work to get them outside their box, to get them speaking other languages that they might not have known at the time. They're just speaking it. And someone's walking by going, "What? He just said that God came in the flesh, came with us, lived, died, rose again for the forgiveness of sin? What?" Like, who knows what was being said? You're like, "What?" Passerbys were going, "This is amazing." So amazing that they thought they were all drunk. And then Peter explains what happens. They were given the gift of tongues at that time. Now, anyone ever speaking in tongues out there? Who wants to? It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. but it's a real thing. I'm not going to get in a big discussion about like whether it's for prophecy or prayer or for announcing the good news. It's all of those things. It seems a little bit strange for some people, and other people are really comfortable with it. If it seems strange for you, and there's other people that feel really comfortable about it, I think you should get together and chat. Have a good conversation. Because Jesus Christ is your Lord of your lives. And so what does it look like now to live in community in that way? I see in this passage in Acts 2, the main purpose was to break down barriers and to go across cross-cultural barriers so that the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. I used to always just think about that as, wow, what an amazing, huge miracle that God did. Like, that's crazy. And then I'm like, I want to speak in tongues because that'd be awesome, right? So I don't know if anyone else thought that way. Like, I'm like, let me do that. And because that's incredible. I wonder if the bigger understanding is that, yes, God did that, but for what purpose? The purpose was for others to hear and see, and that the cultural barriers were broken down. So the good news is now being moved into other neighborhoods. I've shared, maybe a couple years ago, I shared this story with people that there was one time I tried to speak in tongues. I was at a conference, and it was at the Jesus People USA in Chicago, and it was amazing. And Glenn Kaiser of the Resurrection Band was leading us. It dates me, yes, thank you. People are Googling Glenn Kaiser. Check it out. Like, if you want to rock out, Glenn Kaiser? No? Did you know? No? Anyway, so Glenn Kaiser led us in just an exercise of speaking in tongues. And I was like, okay. I was kind of skeptical because I grew up a Mennonite boy. And I was kind of like, okay. And so we're there, and people are sitting, and we're worshiping, but they're also sitting and waiting. And like, nothing really happened. So I was like, And I thought, well, I could maybe fake it, you know, kind of say really fast, "I bought a Honda, but I want to buy a Yamaha." And they're like, "What? I need an interpretation." Someone goes, "I bought a Honda, but I want to buy a Yamaha." And so I was thinking, maybe I could do that, but that wouldn't be good, a little sacrilegious. but then after, this is crazy, after these words came to mind, and I was like, this is weird. And the words that came to mind was Tajima Yuko. And I'm like, that is just so strange. So I just, whatever. And then like a couple months later, I'm praying, and then this word, Tajima Yoko, came to mind again. I was like, oh, okay. So then I was like, I'd be like, as a pastor, youth pastor, I'm praying for different people, and I'd be praying for them. And I'd be like, I'm still trying to understand what this is. So I'd be praying for them. I'm like, oh, Tajima Yoko. Whatever. So I'm praying this. I maybe shouldn't be saying that to people over them as I'm praying them. So then I just sat with that phrase in my own heart for years. 15 years goes by, about 15 years. I'm at Grace Point, and there is a Japanese exchange student that came to visit, and she is moved by the worship at our church. She doesn't know English hardly at all. I tried to have these conversations with her, and it was like, hello, how are you? Took like 25 minutes. Like, it was so, the language was such a barrier. And then their small group leaders came up and said, we think she wants to be baptized. I was like, how do we know? Like, and she had no church background. She was moved by the worship. She loved singing, and she was moved by the worship. So I'm like, okay, how do we bat? Like, I don't know. I want to make sure I'm dunking the right people, right? So I take her off to Willingdon, where there is actually a Japanese pastor, Willingdon Church. And I'm like, hey, can you talk to her and let me know if we're doing the right thing? He sits down with her. I'm in the meeting. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. They're speaking Japanese. I can't understand a thing. And all of a sudden, he's crying, she's crying. And then there's Shani, and he goes, oh, yeah, she's ready to be baptized. I'm like, what? How does that work? And explains the whole part that God somehow, the mystery of God, revealed himself in the midst of a worship, singing songs to her. And through the love of the people of God around her. And that she was part of her helping out as a youth leader, but she couldn't really talk to people. And she was just there. So then I was like, okay, we had a baptism for her. And it was amazing. And then I look, and in Japan, you say the words, like you say your last name first and your first name last, right? So in Japan, my name would be Snyder Kevin. So we baptize her. She goes back to Japan, and I get an email from her and saying, Kevin, how wonderful this is. Thank you so much for baptizing me. Her name was Yuko. I knew that, but she signs it Tajima Yuko. I was like, oh, really? What? And I'm sitting in my office, I'm just crying. I'm like, how do I explain this to people? So I didn't tell people for a really long time. I probably told Sharon. But I was like, oh my goodness. And then a few years later, and I think I was working here at the time, she says, hey, I'm going to get married. And I've got married at I got married in Japan, but I want a Christian marriage. Would you do that? So myself and a few others at Grace Point, we gathered together and we did a Christian marriage for her. Why do I share that? Crossing barriers. Somehow, what God wants us to be doing, and if we're not doing it, he's going to do it himself. Through a worship song, God will move us to help dismantle barriers and build bridges. And it could happen in a Mennonite kid that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. What does that look like for us? What does it look like for you to maybe build a bridge this week? To maybe dismantle slowly some barriers of those around you that need to hear, experience, see a reflection of the kingdom of God? What does it look like? Because I tell you, this is what the Holy Spirit is up to. Holy Spirit is up to announcing the good news of Jesus to every single person. All of us. How good is that? I want to end with us just to be thinking about those words, wait, welcome. Wait, witness, and welcome. And then we're gonna pray for the rest of the churches. But let me pray right now. God, we want to be a people that we're not frantic. We're not doing things just for the sake of doing things. And I know sometimes it gets tricky, and we need to just be able to go ahead and say, it seems right to us in the Holy Spirit to make a decision. But for those of us, I think we also just, would we be able to wait? Would your Holy Spirit speak to us now, in this moment, with these people? First of all, would you speak that we are so dearly loved, and we're included in this grand narrative of your love for all. So would your Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, today and this week, empower us and maybe meet us in ways that we maybe outside of our comfort zone, but it points to your great grand purpose of the gospel. Would you allow us to witness to people of what you are doing in our lives? And would you help us be empowered by your Holy Spirit to be a people that would be welcoming? And welcoming that would be active in building bridges and dismantling some barriers. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.